Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here. So an election result in Iran, protesters on the streets of Tehran, and all of a sudden questions and possibly complications for the Obama administration in Washington. You could say the same about what happened over the weekend in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu delivers a speech on policy and possibly complications again for the Obama administration, hoping to move forward on the Arab-Israeli conflict. Joining us now, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent and author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. He joins us from Washington. David, thanks for being with us, as always.
Good to be back with you.
And welcoming back to the program, Aaron David Miller, former advisor on the Middle East and the author of The Much Too Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace. He also joins us from the nation's capital. Aaron David Miller, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Let me remind our listeners a couple of things that have happened really overnight. You've got Ahmadinejad winning the election in Iran, yet protesters on the street, the whereabouts of the opposition leader Mir Hossein Mousavi, unclear at this point. You had the speech yesterday of Benjamin Netanyahu, who took a step towards a full embrace of a two-state solution, which was news. Barack Obama called that a step forward, yet he signaled inflexibility on the settlements issue and suggested that final status talks on a Palestinian right of return and the capital of Jerusalem, there would be no flexibility on those issues. David Sanger, suddenly do we have two potentially weak political hardliners in Barack Obama's path, in Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Benjamin Netanyahu?
Well, certainly in the case of Iran, the question is, do you have a weak hardliner or do you have a hardliner who's been restored by the true power behind the scenes in Iran? You know, the big question in Iran is who's running the place and thus who do you negotiate with? And what I find interesting, John, is that, you know, if you just go back a few months, there was a whole strain of thinking in the American intelligence community, among other places, that Ahmadinejad had become an embarrassment, that his denials of the Holocaust were ridiculous, that his management of the economy was disastrous, and therefore that perhaps the leadership of Iran would try to get rid of him and use the electoral process to bring in somebody less confrontational but more pliable. And, in fact, that's not what happened.
Right, indeed. Aaron David Miller, on the Benjamin Netanyahu speech yesterday, you've described it as kind of a placeholder, nothing terribly newsworthy, yet I'm wondering if this morning, if you're in the White House, your interest is in strengthening Benjamin Netanyahu to move forward or in weakening him politically to move forward and maybe thinking beyond Benjamin Netanyahu?
I don't think that question has been answered yet. I think the administration is making a virtue out of necessity by welcoming what was clearly at least a difficult ideological journey on the part of the prime minister. I mean, the Obama administration, I think, understands that the history of peacemaking in Israel has always been a history of the right wing, whether it's Begin or Rabin, who is a transformed hawk. It's hawks walking the walk, not doves talking the talk. The issue is not that you've got a right-wing Israeli government. The issue is that you've got a divided Israeli government and no consensus on the part of that government or the people of Israel about what price the Israelis are prepared to pay right now for a conflict-ending agreement with the Palestinians. So both of these situations, Tehran and Jerusalem, really constitute, it seems to me, major headaches in the administration's efforts to create a greater amount of peace and stability in this very dysfunctional region.
Well, Aaron David Miller, let me get your response to this question, and I also want to hear what David Sanger has to say. But do you think that Netanyahu's speech yesterday removes the momentum that seemed to be there with the Saudi plan, which calls for a possible recognition of Israel if there is an agreement on the part of Israel to at least approach some of these final status issues? Is that momentum now gone?
I'm not sure there was much momentum to begin with. I mean, Americans love, myself included, to convince themselves that they hold the keys, and by speaking and by asserting, by appointing envoys, somehow we can affect the calculations of smaller tribes. We can, when those smaller tribes, in effect, have a will and determination, either out of the prospects of gain or pain, to move forward. That situation does not exist in this current environment.
Right.
This Netanyahu speech was not about the Arab-Israeli peace process. It was about the U.S.-Israeli process, and it represents a kind of round two in the ongoing test of wills between what I call President Yes We Can squaring off against Prime Minister No You Won't.
And that's a great way of framing it. David Sanger, I mean, is this a possible misread by the sort of giddy, hey, we won the world, the Obama administration White House sort of coming in thinking that it can just basically tweak the world into a peaceful situation? They misread Iran, and maybe they've misread the situation in Israel?
Well, you know, we all knew that there was going to come some moment when the magic of the enthusiasm about the election of President Obama around the world would wear off, and what I had referred to as the inheritance from President Bush simply becomes the day-to-day management problems of President Obama. And I think that this weekend we sort of hit one of the those corners in the road out here, that at this point President Ahmadinejad becomes, it's clear, the one who President Obama is going to have to deal with for the next 4 years. And in the case of Prime Minister Netanyahu, while it's not at all clear he'll be dealing with him for 4 years, President Obama now has to deal with the interrelated problems. One, that the United States has now made it clear that the expansion of the settlements is not something that President Obama is going to sit back and take the way President Bush did, the natural growth. And secondly, that Prime Minister Netanyahu is now going to be using the election in Iran to test the United States on Israel's patience in sitting back and waiting for engagement to work.
Right.
Remember, it was just a year ago that the Israelis wanted to get the equipment to take out the Natanz nuclear site. I suspect now they'll be coming back and saying, see, we told you who you were dealing with here, so you don't have many months to make this engagement work.
Clearly, the Ahmadinejad result over the weekend in Iran is a very strong, strengthening argument for Netanyahu to stay where he is and not move anywhere. Aaron David Miller, let's look at the sort of apparatus that the Obama administration has set up here. You've got Barack Obama giving his speech in Cairo. You've got Hillary Clinton making her whirlwind tour of the region. You've got George Mitchell in Damascus right now. Okay, so there's inflexibility in Jerusalem. Can you parry with some sort of development out of Syria that might deliver some sort of momentum to the process by a side deal with Damascus at this point? What's your assessment of George Mitchell's mission right now?
You know, I used to think so, because on paper, the Israeli-Syrian agreement is much, much easier. Much, much easier. But I'm not sure anymore. I think the administration has so invested in the Israeli-Palestinian track, so gotten itself out on a limb on the issue of natural growth and settlements, so publicly orchestrated its policies in Cairo, that to shift gears and somehow go to the Israeli-Syrian negotiation is simply not going to fly. I think the reality is, and you know, David Sanger in his excellent book talks about the inheritance, this is a world in which we live that's to be managed, not to be resolved. Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, the Arab-Israeli issue, and now the even more complex situation in Iran. Administration has created an empire of envoys to deal with this problem.
You know, Sanger,
maybe
somebody...
that'll work, maybe it won't, but it's, you know, in the Middle East, there are two speeds. There's long and there's longer.
Right.
And I think the administration is understanding that now and is going to have to figure out what does it want to do with respect to the Israelis. You know, fighting with the Israelis makes sense, but not because you're frustrated with them, and certainly not because you're frustrated or want to make nice to the Arabs. Fighting with the Israelis makes sense if you can actually achieve a breakthrough in negotiations that makes the president look good and serves the interests, not only American interests, but the interests of Arab and Israeli peace. And we're way, way, way away from that.
If somebody plugs your book any more, David Sanger, I'm going to have to invoice you, you know.
That's right.
That's
you know, Aaron and I had offices down the hall from each other at the Woodrow Wilson Center, where he is, as we were working on our respective books. So it's part of a side deal.
I see. It's great. Well, yeah. Very, very well done. Very quickly, David Sanger, does the administration now, are they under pressure to confront Ahmadinejad and do what the Bush administration did, really inflate his power? Or do we back away at this point? We really just have a few seconds.
I think what you're going to see happen is they're going to go back to plan A, which is that President Obama said, we're going to give this to the end of the year to assess where engagement goes, because there's one theory under which a stronger reelected President Ahmadinejad can now attempt an opening with the U.S.
Right.
We don't know that's going to happen.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times, and Aaron David Miller, former advisor on the Middle East. Thanks to both of you from Washington.